Hey, everybody, it's Amna Nawaz, national correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. Your regularly scheduled podcast will return right after this, but I wanted to tell you about our latest original podcast series, Broken Justice.
You have these honest-to-God human beings, and you know that some of them are slipping through the cracks.
This is Public Defense in America.
Hey, here's your 200 cases. You have court in 20 minutes. It's across the street. Go.
A huge part of the justice system.
You also have the right to an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, one can be provided.
But one that's been struggling for far too long with too many clients.
I feel the stress of 150 souls on my back.
Not enough money and too few lawyers.
A warm body with a pulse and a law license is not enough.
From the PBS NewsHour, a new series, Broken Justice. We'll take you to Missouri, the front lines of the public defense crisis in America, to show you what it looks like for these lawyers.
You end up with a system of putting out fires, and those fires are people's lives.
And how it can play out for defendants. Like Ricky Kidd, who 22 years ago was sentenced to life in prison for double homicide.
I 100% believe that I'm in prison today because of the Missouri public defender system.
And how he learned the hard way that the promise of a lawyer didn't mean he would get a fair shot.
It's been rough. If I ended up in life without possibility of parole, something I didn't even do.
Broken Justice is available now. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
To set the stage for this first week of public impeachment hearings and talk about the 2020 presidential race, I'm here with Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report. She's also the host of Public Radio's Politics with Amy Walter. And Tamara Keith from NPR. She also co-hosts the NPR Politics podcast. And before I turn to both of you, and welcome, by the way, Politics Monday, a little bit of late breaking news, we were just talking about it with Yamiche and Lisa, and that is the inquiry or the filing by the acting White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney, who was wanting to join the lawsuit by former White House Special National Security Advisor John Bolton and his deputy, Charles Kupperman, who were questioning their being subpoenaed to appear before Congress. He's now withdrawn that filing. So we can set that aside for the moment.
Thank you.
But the drama continues in so many other pieces, as both of you know. And Amy, these hearings, public hearings,
That's
starting
right.
in 2 days, how is this going to be different from hearings behind closed doors,
other than the fact that it's public.
On cameras.
Right. Well, the theory is that this could maybe change people's opinions about impeachment, which I'm very doubtful that's going to happen. I mean, if you go back and you look at what the public hearings did during the Nixon impeachment era, they did move public opinion pretty steadily. When the summer of 1973 started and the impeachment hearings were public, they were watched by almost everybody. 70% of Americans said they watched those hearings live at some point. And the president, Nixon, his approval ratings dropped significantly over that summer, dropped about 13 points. And interest and support for more investigation into Watergate rose. Let's fast forward to now. People are much more polarized and partisan even than they were back in the 1970s. People are getting their information from so many different sources. There's not just four television stations. Obviously, people are going to go to the news sources or the internet or social media that appeals to them. And so I think what we're going to see is one hearing and a lot of different interpretations of that hearing by a lot of different sources. And we're going to see then, I think, Americans still pretty well settled into how they feel about this. The one group that I'm watching for are those independent voters who probably haven't been paying that much attention as partisans have to this process. Maybe they get moved a little bit right now. They are a little less supportive of impeachment than supportive of it. Maybe this pushes that, but it's going to be very hard to do that.
But, Tam, we may see witnesses called by the Republicans. We're waiting to see how that plays out, right?
We are waiting to see how that plays out. They have put in a long wish list, and the best way to describe it is a wish list that they have sent to the Democrats on the Intelligence Committee. The chairman, Adam Schiff, is the one who gets to decide ultimately. He has the ultimate power to decide who gets called. Now, this list that Republicans sent over includes names like Hunter Biden, and the anonymous whistleblower who they would like to have publicly testify. Schiff has already made it clear that he has no interest in either of those potential witnesses. But there are some other names on that list, like Ambassador Volker or Tim Morrison, who is a National Security Council aide or was. And both of them are people who have provided closed-door depositions. In those depositions, there were some items that Republicans took some solace in. Morrison, for instance, said that although he was concerned about the president's call with Zelensky, he didn't think that a law had been broken. His concerns were more about U.S. And Ukrainian relations and other things like that. So, but in their testimony, if you read it, there are also a lot of things that are damaging to the president and that further corroborate this narrative that Democrats have built up around the call, that Democrats have been able to sort of corroborate around the call. And so it seems possible, at least, that Democrats would be willing to hear from those witnesses because they are not slam dunk great witnesses for the president.
That's right. And you mentioned Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. We're going to talk about 2020 very quickly, Amy. But is Joe Biden in the clear here? I mean, we don't.
Republicans do not want to let him go in the clear, and they want to still make that case in the House, which, as Tam pointed out, is not likely to happen. Where it could be an issue is if impeachment passes, it goes to the Senate, and it's Republicans in charge in the Senate side, of course, and they can call witnesses there during the trial.
Well, and one other thing in the sort of cross-examination and the questioning that Republicans will do of these witnesses in this public hearing, I mean, in the private depositions, they were asking about Hunter and Joe Biden, so you can expect them to do that in public as well.
Well, for whatever reasons, a man named Mike Bloomberg has decided that maybe Joe Biden's chances don't look as good as he thought a few months ago. He's now seriously exploring getting in. Amy, quickly to you first. Is this going to change the race if he gets in?
If he gets in, maybe, but on the margins. Look, there's been a conventional wisdom among, especially among Democrats, inside the Beltway, elites and establishment, that Joe Biden cannot win the nomination and Elizabeth Warren cannot win the race against Donald Trump. And so what is happening today is this establishment, elite group of people saying we've got to find a way to ensure that if it's not Joe Biden, if he collapses, because there's this assumption among this group that he is going to collapse, that somebody has to be there as sort of the moderate standard bearer. Elizabeth Warren's positions, especially in things like Medicare for All, are way too far to the left for these swing state voters. But is Michael Bloomberg the answer that people are looking for? If you're Amy Klobuchar or Pete Buttigieg or, you know, any of those other
in the moderate
candidates in that lane, you're raising your hand and saying, you know what, I think I can pick up that slack if Joe Biden's not around.
And meanwhile, Biden, of course, is saying, I'm not weak. Hey, I'm going to win this thing.
Right.
And he is, you know, still running for president. Though it's interesting, one of my colleagues, Scott Detrow, spoke with one of Biden's allies who said, well, you know, if Biden isn't in the race, then Michael Bloomberg would be a great option, which was slightly off message.
slightly
off message. So very quickly to Amy Klobuchar, who said, we noticed yesterday in an interview, she was asked about Pete Buttigieg, who's done very well in the polls with money. And she said, if the women on the stage, my fellow women senators, Harris, Warren, and myself, do I think we'd be standing on the stage if we had the same experience? He had no. Maybe we're held to a different standard. Are they?
For sure, women are held to a different standard. At the same time, I think it also shows the degree to which Iowa has become the most important state, overwhelmingly so. If Pete Buttigieg gets a foothold by doing really well in Iowa, it puts Amy Klobuchar, Kamala Harris, those others out of the mix.
Double standard.
Certainly, she is stating a fact of American politics. Women in politics tend not even to run for higher office or to run for the Senate until they're much older, because this has been the standard. There's like a desire to have a great amount of experience
next
for female candidates.
Speaking of these women, we're going to see them and the guys on stage a week from this Wednesday.
That's right.
Tamara Keith, Amy Walter, thank you both.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And we want you to please join us in the meantime for special live coverage of the first public impeachment hearings. We start on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter, which is dedicated to the topic. You can find the link to subscribe at pbs.org/newshour/politics.